table. Its pages are worn and hard to read, but that family Bible on the table will always be my key to memory.
I can see us sitting around the table.
Hello everyone, it's that time again, today's health update. I am Roy Williams, the guru of good health, the superintendent of supplementation, and of course it is Monday, so I'm going to do what I love to do most, and that's teach the Word of God. I want to challenge all my listeners, I really do mean what I'm about to say. I'm going to challenge you to put God first in your life. Even if it's as simple as getting up each morning and selecting a verse of scripture you like and reading it and meditating on it a few minutes, or like I do, read the book of Proverbs, like day one I read chapter one, day two I read chapter two. But do something to put God first in your life. Why? Because that's a promise God made. He made us a promise if we put Him first, if we love Him. And that's when you love something, you put it first in your life. He says He will bless us. So do you need more blessings? Do you want to feel more blessed? Do you want to enjoy life more? Do you want to have a more complete life, a more full life? It could be as simple as just changing that one part. Just put God first in your life. For those of you that's new to these stations, I teach what I call Monday school as a result of Sunday school being closed because of COVID back years ago. I started teaching my Sunday school lesson that I taught in church online through the radios and other, those ways to get the Word of God out to people. And God has blessed me so much for doing that. And I've dedicated the first show every week, putting God first. I dedicate Him. I dedicate that day, that this show, fastest 30 minutes on the radio, to teaching straight from the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I want to ask you another question. Do you attend a church or a Bible study that teaches the Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse? I'm not talking about the traditions of men. You know, when I was going to church, they wouldn't allow any of the literature, they called it, to be taught in that church that I went to. And I never understood why, because there's a lot of great writers out there and a lot of great people out there. But it, as I got older, it began to dawn on me, they may be good, they may be great, but they're not as good as God. Jesus says, "Behold, I have told you all things." And through him and through the prophets, he's given us everything we need to know about God. And you need a relationship with your Father in heaven. And how do you establish a relationship with your Father in heaven? It's as simple as putting God first in your life and studying his word. Not some preacher or teacher out there taking two or three verses and reading them and then elaborating for 30 minutes or 45 minutes on what how the world's working and how those things appear to them in the Bible. It doesn't matter how it appears to us. What matters is the Word of God. It is whole. It is complete. And it is. It comes with a lot of promises. I mean, from start to finish, God promises us all kinds of things. If while in this flesh age, while we're living on this earth in the flesh, if we will put God first, really marvelous, miraculous, wonderful things happen. And I'm living proof of it. My wife and I are, and we challenge you to be the same way. If you're following along with us in this Bible study, we're in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to begin with chapter 2, verse 5 today. That's where we ended last week, but I always like to pick up the last verse of last week and start with it the next week to kind of pull it together. Remember, Paul, when he started writing 1 Thessalonians, that was the first thing he wrote after establishing a relationship with Christ Jesus. And that's what happened. God chose him, and God and Christ talked to him, and he was selected to be, and of course, as a result of that, to be not only a writer of God's word, he has written more in the Bible, the New Testament in the Bible, than any other writer. And there's a reason for that. He was as dedicated to destroying the Christian faith at one time, just as dedicated as he was to that. He became just as dedicated to understanding, writing, and explaining God to all of us and what God expects from us. So that's what he's doing. And, 1 and 2 Thessalonians are important because it's where we get to talking about what happens after this age, after the earth age, the flesh age, I call it. In other words, this whole flesh body is going to go back to dust. It doesn't matter if you're buried. It doesn't matter if you're cremated. It don't matter. Eventually, this whole flesh is going back to dirt. And listen to me. In 1 Thessalonians, you may get confused, and a lot of preachers and teachers may have taught you that you're going to pop out of that grave and your flesh is going to come back alive. It is not. We will never have flesh again. We don't want flesh. Flesh grows old, gets weak, starts to hurt, malfunctions, suffers, and dies. Unless you're killed instantly in a car wreck or something, it's going to perish. So what we're concerned about is the life of the Spirit, the eternal life of the Spirit, your soul, who you are. So that's what Paul's teaching us, is what happens to us in the flesh at the end. And I will, as we get into the next two or three chapters in 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to show you where there's so much confusion about the Bible and why you need to remember. We're going to bust that rapture theory. It's no good. The rapture theory is a theory. It is not biblical. The word rapture is not in the Bible. Don't you want to know the truth? Let me assure you of something. God expects you to know the truth because he wrote you a letter, and that's what we're teaching. So turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. If you're following along in the King James Version, it'll be easier because that's what I teach from. Verse 5 says, "For neither at any time used we flattering words." Now, this is Paul writing to all the people that have become Christians. And he's explaining to them that we didn't try to impress you or nothing with our words. So let me read it again. "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." Now, that's a powerful verse, but let's read it in modern English. This is how it would read in today's English without changing the meaning at all, covering exactly what we want, but just doing it in a way that more people can understand God's word. You would read verse 5 this way. You can follow along, King James, but here's what it would be in modern English. "For we never at any time used flattering speech as you know, or an excuse of greediness. That's what covetousness is greediness. And then he ended it with, God is our witness. Okay, that's just making it very plain to you what he's doing. Verse 6, King James Version, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Now, what's an apostle? It's a sent one. It's somebody God chose, the elect, and they were sent here after the first earth age. They were sent here to be born of woman and to teach and spread the gospel of the word of God, and that's what Paul is. So let's read Modern English, verse 6. Follow along in your King James. It would read this way in Modern English. Neither did we seek glory from you or anyone else, even though we might have been a burden as the representatives of Christ. Okay, so remember, they're representatives of Christ. They're the sent ones. All right, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Let's read that in Modern English. But we were kind among you, even as a mother comforts her children. That's a better way to read that. Verse 8, King James Version. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Now follow along in your King James and let me read verse 8 in Modern English. So we affectionately long to see you, and we are willing to share with you not only the message of God, but also our own hearts, because you are special to us. Doesn't that make more sense in Modern English? It just reads so much easier to understand. Verse 9, King James Version. Here's how it reads in King James, in other words. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Now follow along and read it again, but let me do the Modern English. For you remember, fellow believers, that's what brethren are, our difficulty and hardship. Okay, that's what it meant by labor and travail, our difficulty and hardship, for working night and day, so we would not be a burden to any of you, we proclaimed you the message of God. He's just explaining to us, folks, that, you know, they were young Christians. The Christian faith was new. It was not accepted very well at first. And so many of their own flock, even the Pharisees and Sadducees, rejected Jesus. And this is how the message got started, which has become the greatest message of all times. Verse 10, King James Version. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Modern English, that would say, you are witnesses, as is God, how holy and righteously and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. You see, sometimes when you're reading in the old English, holily, justly, unblameably behaved, those kinds of things, it's here's what it is in Modern English, as I told you, how holy and righteously. That's better than justly. What does justly mean? Well, it means you're doing the right thing. And blamelessly, okay, unblameably, blameless, that's right, we behaved ourselves among you who believe. Verse 11, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children. Modern English, that would say, because you know how we encouraged and comforted and urged every one of you as a father does his children or his child. You see, it's just understanding the Word of God. Do you understand the Word of God? I've had so many people tell me over the years that I read the Bible, but I don't fully understand it. And then after they start getting the Modern English, they go, finally, it's making sense. Finally, the pieces are coming together. That's exactly what's going to happen to y'all, those of you that listen to this message that we put out, that Paul put out in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So we want you to understand how it works. Look at verse 12, King James Version, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Do you walk worthy of God? Let's read that in modern English. So you would live suitable for God, who has called you for his kinship and splendor. You see, it don't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, if you're Israeli or not, it don't matter. If you accept Christ, you are a member of the family, your kinship, you are relatives through Jesus Christ. Verse 13, for the cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Now that's a tough one. There's a lot of shifting in there, it seems like. So let's read it in modern English. Follow along in your King James and you'll see it makes more sense. Modern English. For this cause, reason you might say, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you did not receive it as if it were from humans or man's traditions, but as truth. You accepted it as truth, the actual word of God, which effectively works also in those of you that believe. Oh, listen, if you believe in the word of God, trust me, your life will show it, and people will indeed start to come to you and ask questions. There's no doubt about it. Verse 14, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea and in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Let's read that in modern English so you'll understand it better. For you, fellow believers, become followers of the congregations of God that are in Christ Jesus. For you have also experienced similar things from your own countrymen, as they also from the Jews, the Kenites. Okay, now listen, we're about to shift gears here. You got to pay attention, okay? Let's start over again. For you, fellow believers, became followers of the congregations of God that are in Christ Jesus. All right, he's talking to people that have accepted Christ. But what did they experience when they accepted the message of Christ? He says, for you have also experienced similar things from your countrymen. What things is he talking about? Suffering, being afflicted by them. Actually being torn down, they told them how evil they were for doing that instead of reading the law of Moses. They were following along with Christ, which Christ never went against anything Moses taught. But see, it was breaking into their money stream. It was breaking into what their traditions of man that they'd started teaching, and all those laws that man made up instead of the laws of God. So 14, we're going into a section here where you're going to understand what was taught in St. John when Christ was here teaching about the Kenites. Remember, he talked about the tares in the field. Who sowed the tares in the field? What were the tares? The tares were Kenites. What are Kenites? The offspring of Satan. Remember, that's the battle. I'll get into that another day. 15, verse 15. Read it with me in the King James Version. Who both killed the Lord Jesus. Who did? The Kenites did. Who are the Kenites? They're the bloodline of Satan himself. All right, let me start over. 15, King James Version, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. They're going against everybody. The Kenites want to destroy. They are, remember, Jesus said, you are children of the first murderer. That's what he's talking about. Let's read 15 in modern English. Follow along in your King James Version, but I'm going to read it in modern English. Who both killed the Lord Jesus, talking about the Kenites, and their own prophets, and their own prophets. The Kenites have persecuted us, for they do not please God and are against or opposite to all men that accept the message of Christ. In other words, when you accept Christ, let me tell you something, get ready. Satan's going to be on a rampage. He's going to do everything in his power to destroy you. He's going to persecute you. Your own family may persecute you. Other people that have been in church their whole lives and been taught that we're all going to pop out of the graves and we're all going to be taken away. We are not. You got to understand the whole Word of God. I'll help you do that. I mean, it's not biblical. You'll learn it as you go through. I'm telling you, it's why I'm teaching Thessalonians, is so you'll understand these things. Verse 16, King James Version, forbidding us, going on with the message, what? He's persecuting us. How? 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. You see, like I said, when you accept Christ, get ready. You're going to be persecuted. They're going to forbid you to speak in public. They're going to shut you up. They're going to shun you. They're going to make you feel little. That's what they do. Let's read that in modern English. 16 would say, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles. That's people of other nations, by the way. So they might be saved. In other words, so they could not have a relationship with God. To fill up or make complete their sins or wrongdoings, which is what Christ does always. He's the great forgiver. Christ forgives us of our sins. They don't want you to believe that. And because of what they're doing, well, how's that finish that verse? For the wrath or anger has come upon them to the uttermost. That means until they finish, believe it or not. Until what? The second coming of Christ, when they are doomed. When those that choose to follow Satan will get their just rewards. Trust me, it's coming. All right, verse 17, King James Version. But we, now he's talking to the Christians again. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. So they've not been able to be around them. So Paul's writing them this letter to give them comfort. And he's explaining that we're going to be gone for a short time, but not our hearts. Our hearts are still with you. So modern English, this would read, but we fellow believers being separated from you for a short time in person, but not in mind, make every effort frequently with a great desire to see you in person. Verse 18, King James Version. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. This is so important. Catch this verse, modern English. For this reason we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. What does he mean, Satan? Through the Kenites. You see, Satan's not on earth. His spirit is, though. And trust me, he's got a bunch of workers here, and they're going to try to stab you in the back once you start believing in Jesus. Verse 19, King James Version. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? This is a good question. There's two questions here. Let me answer them with modern English, or let me read them in modern English. He asked these questions. What is our hope or expectation, or joy, or honor of rejoicing? Okay? Will you not also be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his return? He's asking these beautiful questions. I mean, what is your hope? What is your expectation? Are you not going to be here? Well, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to be here. We're not going anywhere. You'll be here at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, what, when he returns? Where's he returning? To earth. Where are you going if you believe in the rapture? You're not going anywhere. We got a battle to fight. That's why we have to put on the whole armor of God. So he finishes chapter 2 with this verse, for ye are our glory and joy. Modern English, that would read, for you are our glory and cause for rejoicing. Now, that's a powerful chapter, but it's beginning to open your eyes to see that the Kenites is what he's talking about. Remember, there was only two churches of the seven churches in the book of Revelation that was found pleasing by Christ. Who were those two churches? They were the churches of Smyrna and Philadelphia. All the rest of them fell short, but those two churches didn't. Why? Because of what they were teaching. What were they teaching? They were teaching the truth about the Kenites. They were teaching the truth that, you know, when he was giving them that parable of the farmer sowing his field, and these workers come back later when it had sprouted up and started growing, they said, "Would the seed you used not good wheat? You know, wheat makes a beautiful golden grain." And he says, "Yes, I had the best seeds." And they says, "Well, then where'd all these tares come from?" Now, if you were a farmer, you'd understand it. Wheat has a look, you can recognize it, but so do tares. The problem is wheat and tares look exactly the same when they sprout. You can't tell that the tare is poison till the seed is formed, because where it's, instead of being a golden seed of grain, it's wheat that's worth a lot of money and will help you be healthy. What is a tare? It's a poisonous plant. The seeds are black. And what did they ask the master to do? They said, "Should we go and pull the tares out and get them out of that?" And he says, "No." He says, "If you do that, you'll uproot the wheat also." This is the parable. This is the parable. You'll uproot the wheat. See, you can't tell by looking at people if they're Christians or not. And they, and the Kenites, and by the way, the tares in this, by the way, the wheat, what's the wheat? That's the good ones. That's the ones that God put on this earth who stuck with him, who didn't follow Satan, who believed in him only. Remember, in the first earth age, 1/3 of God's own children followed Satan. And it made God mad, but instead of destroying them, instead of killing 1/3 of his own children, you know what he did? He says, "I'm going to start it over. I'm going to let y'all be born in the flesh." And that's when the great flood happened, the one before Noah's flood. He ended the whole earth and he started it over and rebuilt it. That's what Genesis chapter 1's all about. And then remember, in verse 26 of chapter 1, he said, "Let's make man and woman in our image." And he made them in our image, and the way we look there is how we look now. And he started putting these souls. He said, "Your souls are going to be born in the flesh of woman, totally blank. You won't remember nothing that happened in the first earth age." But guess what? He says, "The great thing is you get to choose between the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life." Well, what happened? Adam and Eve had to choose. And you know what they did? They got involved with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Eve was wholly seduced by Satan. That's what beguiled means. You can look it up. I can't make this stuff up. And what does wholly beguiled mean? Means that there was another bloodline started. Her first child, Cain, was of Satan. That's the tares. His bloodline are the tares. Thank y'all for listening to today's Health Update. You don't want to miss next week, when we move on into Thessalonians. Tell everybody else to listen to the show. Until next time, may God continue to bless all of us with abundant health.
Now you know why today's health update is called the fastest 30 minutes on the radio. Making the right decisions becomes so much easier when you know the truth. If you would like to know more about products, call 256-757-0660. Visit Herbs & More in Athens or NHC Herb Shop in Killen, or visit our website at www.nhcherbs.com. If you would like to hear a show again or share it with someone, go to Herbs & More Athens Facebook page and scroll down to Roy's picture. The shows are uploaded daily. Or go to Podbean on your computer or phone and type NHC19. That's NHC19 in the search bar, and scroll down to find the title you wish to listen to. This is Andy Black. Thank you again for listening to today's Health Update.